Hello and welcome to episode 26 of series 5 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. Welcome again to the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you're a new listener, you will find over 100 episodes available at our website, which is thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. If you go to the website and you click on the podcast tab, you will see all of the podcast episodes going back all the way to 2020, which you can listen to, consume there. And that's where you'll get the best listening experience, regardless of which platform you're listening on now. On the website, we have links on our show notes. We have a full show note for each episode. And we also have links to our guests and any media that they reference in their interviews itself. Also on the website, you'll find links to our products and our services, our visual communication tools, our explainer videos, and our other internal communications products. So that's the best place to visit if you are new to the show or if you want to get the full podcast experience. Anyway, let's move into the topic for this episode's interview. A topic we covered a few episodes ago on episode 22 of this series of series 5 was with Mary Barnes, where we looked at change management and internal communications. And I wanted to come back to change management as a topic again and look at it in a little bit more detail. This that time from the perspective of human-centric change, which is something we looked at in that previous episode, but I wanted to go into more depth. I wanted to look at what do we mean when we talk about human-centric change? What are we actually looking at? And what is it that's really key about organizational communications when it comes to change and how we transform our organizations, make that change and communications aspect more specific. I also wanted to find out, is there a one way, is there a cookie cutter approach to change in communications that we should be using, or is there something a little bit more nuanced than that? And then drilling into the human centric aspect from a change and communications professional's point of view, I wanted to understand what is it that we can apply from our own personal experiences, our professional change experiences of our own careers and how we've had to adapt to change over the years. How can we use that in our practice to become better change in comms professionals and to apply that learning to our organizations, to our clients, to our recipients of our work, so we can actually pass on our own experience and build change resilience and change adaptability within organizations. So that's what we're going to be exploring this episode. We've got a fantastic guest, a guest who we've been talking about having on the show now for four and a half years, and we finally got them on the show. So I hope you enjoy this interview with a fantastic guest. My guest in this episode is Jyoti Khan. Jyoti has embraced the learning and art of science of communication, working with some of the best technology, telecom, and IT services brands around India, Asia, and the globe in both an agency and corporate environment. Jyoti is a certified strategic comms professional and change practitioner and is passionate about working with leaders to energize and align their teams around a common purpose, inspire change, and help them to build their desired organizational culture. In her capacity as the immediate past chair of the Asia Pacific Board of International Association of Business Communicators, which is the IABC, Jyoti is also contributing towards advancing the communication profession, making it a career of choice for the next generation. So hello, Jyoti, how are you?
Hi, Craig. I am fantastic. And it is so good to be finally a guest on your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Just for a little bit of, for the listener, just a little bit of back history. Jyoti was scheduled to be one of my very, very first guests about 4.5 years ago when I first started the podcast. And we got to the point of recording the interview. But unfortunately, Jyoti's position changed slightly and for reasons of commercial sensitivity and professional decorum, we decided that we wouldn't air the interview. And it's taken us 4.5 years, hasn't it, Jyoti, to finally get down to having this conversation.
I know. While you say that, Craig, I must admit that I'm an avid listener of Engaging Internal Comms since 2020.
Thank you.
This podcast, I must admit, is my very often the go-to resource for some hands-on inspiration. So I must really congratulate you for 5 successful series. And thank you for all that you do to bring global comms professionals to the platform and ask some relevant questions, which becomes a go-to guide for people like me. So I love it.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so nice, Kiyoti. Thank you very much. And I do get the occasional email and message on a similar vein. It always means a lot because, as you know, it is a passion project. It's not something that I do to, you know, commercialize. I don't put ads on the show. I keep it as clean as possible. And I appreciate it. It's always nice. That's the best reward I can get here, hearing people say things like that. So thank you. So, Jyoti, let's let the listeners know where you are, because I didn't say good morning, I didn't say good afternoon, because it's my morning and I think it's your afternoon. Whereabouts are you in the world, Jyoti, at the moment, please?
I am based in Singapore, which is an island country and a city state in Southeast Asia, and it is very sunny. And as you were talking about the weather earlier, I was looking up at the window and I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling so fortunate. It's always sunny in Singapore, and that's where I'm based, yes.
Fantastic. Yeah, it couldn't be more contrasting than the weather we've got here in the UK at the moment. But anyway, don't get a Brit talking about the weather. We'll spend all of the interview just talking about that. So fantastic. Well, I gave a little bit of an outline of what you're up to there. You've obviously got very, very broad and very, very detailed interest there, both in terms of your consulting work, but also your work with the IABC. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you're up to at the moment, Jyoti, and also you know kind of a little bit more about your professional interests as well that I've maybe not mentioned already?
Oh, thanks for asking. So I am someone who is really passionate about communication that inspires action. This year marks my 25th year as a comms professional. And I started my journey way back with public relations and very early on found my calling in internal communication. And that's where I found home. Mm. In these 25 years, I've been so fortunate to work with some amazing leaders, teams, and brands just across the world in technology, financial services. And in every such assignment has been foundational in making me the professional that I am. In my current capacity, I am the co-founder of Bricks and Clicks. It's a strategic communications consultancy that works with growing businesses and helping them navigate change that the world throws at them and driving growth through communication that is effective and tailored to their business. And currently, at Bricks and Clicks, we're working with some really exciting brand comms and change comms projects across Europe and the Middle East. Outside of the day job, I have been really trying to learn everything there is about the art and science of communication and its allied fields. So change communication, leadership communication, behavioral science, and places like the IABC, IOIC, ACMP, the Change Management Professionals Organization. I think these are the places that are really have found that I navigate to associations like this to tap into the collective knowledge and inspiration that sits in bodies of work, because a lot of times the work that we end up doing is quite lonely. I mean, we're all clients and allies, but I think the collective knowledge power that I find in associations or networks, formal or informal, has been absolutely instrumental in changing my mind and my opinion as I've grown as a professional. So that's what I do. And it's been great. And I could not be more fortunate to be where I am today.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, some great institutions there. I'm interested in the name Bricks and Clicks. How did you come up with the name? It's a really interesting name. And I'm going to put the link into your website on the show notes for the show. And I'll mention that later. But is that because you support both physical and virtual organizations?
Oh, 100%. So Natalie, my peer, co-founder, and a very dear friend, she's based in the UK. And when we were starting this business way back in 2020, I think that was our thinking spot on, that we wanted to work with businesses. And we knew that effective communication is crucial to the businesses that were brick and mortar versus virtual businesses as the world was unfolding. And we could not be more right. Because while we were setting this up, the world changed and everyone was looking for comms to make sense of the everything that was going around them. And we were really at the right place at the right time to do that. And that was the genesis of Bricks and Clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very, very insightful to to forecast that in 2018, that that would be the way, well, the way the world was heading. But we didn't, I don't think, I guess we did, none of us expected it to happen so suddenly and so dramatically as it did. But yeah, so anyway, you've mentioned change a couple of times in the organizations and professional bodies that you're interested in, and also your own professional interests. And that's what this episode is all about. It's about human-centric change. So I'd like to dive in straight away, Jyoti, to that and start to talk about what you know, it may be obvious or seem obvious to professionals and comms professionals that there is a link between change in organizational communications and employee engagement, but maybe sometimes we just take that for granted without actually thinking why. What's your take on that, Jyoti? Why change and comms are kind of hand in hand, really, when it comes to organizational culture work and OD work?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. And, you know, when I look at these three terms, and I often go back to it on a vision board or a plain sheet of paper, and I would write these words and kind of join the dots between them. Hmm. So your audience here is very evolved, and these are the terms they probably deal with on a day-to-day basis. But I think there is a really strong connection and almost sort of interconnection, and the proportion of each might change, but I think they're so intertwined in a way. So hear me out here. So I believe, and what I've learned is that successful change requires effective communication, period. Any change, for it to land well, it needs that people understand the rationale behind it, what is expected of them, how it'll be implemented. In the absence of it, they resist. It leads to lower morale and productivity. So successful change requires effective communication. We can establish that. Effective communication fosters engagement. Now, I know that in the five seasons, I've heard so many of the peers and professionals who've come to your podcast, and they've time and again said how crucial is effective communication as an enabler for engagement. Not the sole factor. There's so much more that goes into employee engagement, but communication ends up being so crucial in fostering engagement, and which means that it allows for open, transparent channels, two-way feedback. People feel valued and informed. And, you know, the more engaged they are, they're more likely to embrace change, right? So you see a pattern emerging as I say that. Now, engagement, if you just take a step further, is what drives change adoption. And that's kind of what everyone is working towards, right? All of these changes, be it AI, a new software, an ERP system, whatever, the success really lies in people using that change and adopting it. If employees are engaged, they are so much more likely to accept and adapt to those changes, right? Because they are vested in the organization's success. So high level of engagement would mean that people are more resilient, they're more trusting, they're adaptable, and they're committed to making this successful. So if I look at just these three phrases, Craig, and I just kind of join the dots, I can see like these patterns emerging. These are individual terms, phrases on their own, their disciplines on their own. And very often in an organization, someone is looking at comms and someone is looking at engagement and someone is looking at change. But you see how intertwined they are. They're codependent. They almost sort of are the fuel that will fire the other one, right? And together, they are so powerful as a collective to really accelerate the change or engagement in any organization. And that's what, when I've looked at programs that have worked well, I think these three terms have made so much sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the key thing with it is often, and we'll talk about this in the next thing we're going to talk about, which is it was often where organizations are following a very rigorous methodology or approach to change, is that one of the stages is sort of communication, and it's kind of seen as something we kind of do once or you know, very limited. And for me, the key thing with successful change in communication is it's just continuous, as just a continuous flow, two-way flow, not just, you know, just kind of endless town hall meetings. It's a two-way flow of information, and managers and leaders are very keen to, like a bit like a spider in the web of picking up these signals coming back and a kind of responding to those appropriately and giving people what they need in order to help them, you know, acclimatized to the change that's being made. As you say, it's almost like a kind of tapestry that woven together so richly, and it's really important. So I totally agree with what you say there, Jyoti. I mean, in terms of one of the things we're going to talk about next is this, that sometimes, is it a case that organizations just need to learn a framework for change and apply that, or is it more subtle than that? I've kind of given my take on that already, I guess. Is there a cookie cutter approach to change and comms that we need to use, or is there something more subtle than that in your experience as well, Jyoti?
Yeah, no, it is such a relevant question. And, you know, if you just were to go to your browser and just type in change or change management, and hundreds of models would come up, some really established, like, you know, the McKinsey 7S framework, yeah. Kotter's 8 Steps of Change, ADKAR, ChangeGov, like so many of them, right? These are a lot of sort of behavioral scientists, practitioners have come up these models, and they serve a great purpose in terms of being the guiding principles of change. I've also found that organizations that are going through change almost as a serial sort of, you know, change drivers, and many organizations are such, right? They are going through M&As and they're bringing new technologies, new people, new ideas in. They have developed their own change framework. So there are frameworks that exist for change management. But if you were to sit with a number of these frameworks and you were to analyze, I think what they have as a common red thread that goes on is things like communication and leadership. And those are two so important things in some of what you touched on, which is this ability to, you know, adapt and evolve and take feedback and listening. And, you know, those elements are almost so crucial that they're weaved into every stage of every model. So while there aren't as many change communication models, the change management models that exist today and framework that are so well known, they use communication almost as so central to all of them. Mm-hmm. And which is what, like, I think when I started sort of going deep dive into change as a practice and started to look at these models, and there was like a lot of this stuff as strategic communication professionals working with leaders, we do a lot of this intuitively, right? Like we work with leaders, we join the dots, we ask the questions why, or we believe in working with line managers, we want to listen to people and adapt and evolve approaches. Some of this as comms professionals comes to us intuitively. But I wouldn't stop at that. I think change communication on its own is a really fascinating space and almost an untapped space, because when organizations are looking at change, Craig, they often look at three key triangle or three key roles, right? They look at a project manager who's almost sort of looking at budgets, resources, all of it, right? They look at a change sponsor, which is a leader, right? Who's sponsoring or speaking or is the face of change in the organization or kind of doing all the approval stuff for change as a leader. And then there's a change manager who's looking to make sure that change is happening and we're going through the curves of assessment done, stakeholder engagement done. But comms is a skill for a change manager that is not their core competency, right? That's what I want to draw attention to. So change, for all of these roles to be successful, comms is important. But what is missing in that triangle is a role for a change communication professional, which is what I've been so fascinated with and I wanted to draw attention to, because that as a field, I think, is such a great spot for seasoned strategic internal comms professionals to go in and own, building on the knowledge that they have had and then picking up the additional skills that need for them to do an amazing job at change communication. And that's where my head is at.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for me, you know, like building on what you're saying there, is you know, that integral part. If you look at most of those models that you mentioned there, ADKAR, Kotter, you know, Kurt Lewin, Bridges, all of these kind of models and methodologies around organizational and human-centered organizational change, you know, the first thing you've got to do is kind of unlock the organization from its status quo, and that requires people, you know, communication. Then you've got to change it, you've got to make the change happen, and that requires continuous support and communication and engagement. And then finally, to kind of bake the change in and consolidate it and make it hopefully make it part of your new culture. Again, there's a big communication element there about reinforcement and, you know, kind of recognizing success stories and making people feel as though they've made the right choices to go along with this change. So it's so integral. I just think, as you say, it needs to be recognized as a legitimate role within that process. And also, I think that role of that change manager is to coach and to guide and facilitate and pass on their kind of expertise to other people. So it's not just them carrying the burden of that. They're really just facilitating that communication process themselves. That's my experience. Is that something you would concur with, Jyoti?
Absolutely, 100%. I think you got that spot on. And I think which is why we're seeing with larger organizations, Craig, they do have people dedicated to change, you know, people who bring in this competency and capability, and that comes with organization's maturity and change maturity and their change appetite, right? It comes with that because they've seen time and again that this is a crucial skill set. In many other organizations where it is almost assumed that if they have a comms person, that they would by default manage change, right? I think that is oversimplifying it because that is more nuanced, because it comes with its own set of complexities of sort of dealing with emotions and resistance and, you know, getting buy-in. So it comes with its own complexity. I do think that as comms professionals, we do have the you know, at least a common denominator. We've got a lot of those skills in various degrees. I think what is needed is to up our change intelligence, to build on our emotional intelligence, to really understand risks and how to mitigate those risks, and to learn to work alongside these peers, which is the change manager, the project manager, and the change sponsor, and to become like a really real part of that framework and solidify our position there. And that's where I think lies a great opportunity for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sort of focusing, we've looked at very more organizational level now, kind of moving down in towards more, you know, your role as I'm kind of thinking more leaning in towards your kind of your role with the IABC and your professional interests. And this is you know, I know you in the intro, I said you part of that is your enthusiasm and commitment for the next generation of internal communicators. So obviously the landscape is changing. I mean, it's always changed. I think every generation thinks they're kind of the changes they're enduring are the most volatile and quickest, and then it just gets a bit quicker for the next people down the line. With AI, and obviously is all the rage at the moment in terms of what people are talking about, but other issues as well. So rapid evolution of AI and potentially for some elements of the communicator's role, you know, kind of content generation and writing lots of copy, and whether AI will ever replace that, but what also certainly is a kind of a used in the right hands is a great efficiency tool, but obviously is a threat as well. What are your thoughts in terms of what change? What communications professionals need to do to stay relevant, both in the world of you know, organizational change, but also change within the profession and the tools and potential substitutes for their own expertise that are now on the horizon?
I know this is probably the a commonly asked question, but it still varies. You know, it depends on where you are and who you are speaking with. I think we've gone past the stage where this was something that is out there. It is all a part of our life, and we're all working with it. Some are doing a little bit more than the others, but we're all working with it, and we are learning to use it to our advantage, as it should be. I do think, coming to your audience and, you know, people who are listening to this podcast, I think learning to work with AI to make ourselves more effective, more so for internal communications, because we often are people who have lean teams, leaner budgets, and therefore there's a much more need for us to work smarter. Today, we are so fortunate to be working in a time when we have access to tools. There are many platforms that are available. There are expertise. We can tap into global experts to help us, and to lean into that extended team and not really have big in-house teams who will solve all our problems for us, right? So I think we need to know what our strengths are And where do we find allies and people and tools that we can work with, AI being one of them? I think that's first and foremost. While we do that, I think it's also very important to find out where the opportunity lies for you and what drives you as a professional. Mm. For me, it was change. So it was a no-brainer because if I look at any future of work study, Craig, it says 75% of organizations are going to expect disruptions in the coming years. They already are with a variety of reasons, and they are going to go through disruptions. And when disruptions lead to anxiety, uncertainty, and that's where we come in to make sense of it and to address and calm fears.
Yeah.
Deloitte's report, it said that executives rank the ability to lead through complexity and ambiguity as one of the core skills, the top leadership skills needed for the future. Mm. So today, change or leading through change is a massively sought after skill for leaders that are up and coming, for high potentials, right? Now, that puts us in a really strategic spot because we know businesses. If we are in in-house roles or working as consultants, we have been through businesses. We understand business, industry. We know stakeholders. We know how to work with leaders of different capabilities, competencies. We know all of that. If we build on change competency as one which is high touch, right? Because it needs working with handholding leaders and people through change. It needs onboarding change networks. It needs bringing people on a journey, helping them see the vision. A lot of this requires strategic thinking, creativity, sense-making, simplifying complex things, adapting, evolving narratives. Again, where some of these skills that we have built, a muscle that we have built, and some of it that we need to build in terms of knowing digital transformation, understanding change frameworks, understanding risk, understanding emotional intelligence, change intelligence. So if someone was looking at a skill set like this and build that up, use AI to do the repeated work, but put your thinking into the work that you bring in, the leadership, the thinking, the creativity. And I think that's where the spot is. So change for me was one such area. And as I speak with younger professionals here in Asia, I do tell them, you know, that this was my area, but it's great to identify whatever that area for you is. It could be content of a specific kind. It could be sustainability, whatever that emerging area is, where the future is headed, but you take a leap. And you get there first by upskilling, by networking and talking to people and leaning into peer network to upskill and get some real insights. And I think that would be my advice as people look to life of being a comms professionals in the age of AI, right? That's how I'm tackling it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We had an episode a few episodes back. I can't remember which number it was off the top of my head, but with Fiona Tassiantino, where she was talking very much around what you were just saying there, which is, you know, AI in the is great. It's a great way of being more efficient. It's a great way of, you know, it can make a lot of time consuming tasks very quick to allow you to use your brain and your experience to kind of drive real value. So definitely along those lines. And I think, you know, with the point you made there, which was actually change is the thing. If you get good at change, that's very difficult to delegate to AI. That is a difficult thing. That's very nuanced. So it's a building your competencies in areas that are not irreplaceable, because nothing is irreplaceable, but where you can add the most value rather than something that is, you know, all you're doing is writing copy and writing, you know, content for websites and that sort of thing. I'm not dismissing that that's not an important thing, but that is something that is relatively vulnerable to the, you know, particularly as AI gets better, which it is. I mean, it's changed massively in the last couple of years since I've been kind of tinkering with it. So I think your points there are very accurate, Jyoti. I mean, just building on that, and this is kind of the final sort of questions I wanted to ask you is obviously on a personal level, you've been through, you know, we're talking about change as if it's something that, you know, we kind of we get involved in professionally, but don't actually, it doesn't, you know, we're immune to it ourselves, but we're all, you know, it's kind of physician heal thyself sort of thing. And, you know, cobbler's children, you know, using some analogies there, is that, you know, we go through it ourselves. We experience, you know, the kind of highs and lows and the waves and crashing over us of change. You've been through a lot of personal change in terms of, you know, you've moved from kind of a, you know, corporate roles, and now you're doing a lot more consulting work. What are some of the things you've learned from that about your own personal capacity for change that's maybe you've been able to then draw upon either professionally or when you're coaching other change and comms professionals, Jyoti?
I could probably write a book on those learnings. And I'm sure you have so much of your own, you know, as you built Big Picture People and even that podcast. I think there is so much to learn from, and it becomes a lot more real when you go through it, right? Asking the questions, and I think one of the first things that I've learned about change is who's driving the change makes all the difference. Are you in the driving seat, or are you the recipient of change? And I think who's driving the change, or are you part of that change process, or are you just, it's just happening to you, that makes all the difference. And I think when I embarked on this journey, and Natalie and I, when we embarked on this journey, I think we were in the driving seat and we wanted to create something of our own. And that kind of made all the difference. You're coming from a place of strength and energy, and you know, you're excited about this versus if this was just something that you had not planned for and it landed on your footstep, you know, then it's different, right? So I think who's driving the change, that makes a lot of difference. And that also helps make the case for involving people in co-creating that vision of change, right? In organization standpoint, you tell leaders, you bring on board, people managers bring on board, few change champions bring them on board, so that if you can't like roll it out to all 10,000, 100,000 people, you at least have, you know, covered a cross section of population who have weighed in and helped shape the change. So you've got endorsement from the floor, and it's not done in isolation, right? So who's driving the change, and do you have a voice in shaping that change? I think that's really important. My second point, and I think you'll find it familiar because I'm so passionate about it, is starting with a why. I think we talked about it the first time that we spoke.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I am such a believer in the why, and you know, it can be the purpose or your change vision. And I think the why is so important. You know, it determines your commitment to the change. So if we establish a why and we keep going back to that, I think the journey of coming through that change becomes a lot easier. So if you leave the safety net of a corporate salary and benefits and all of that, and you leave that and you embark on an entrepreneurial venture, I think very often there's a learning curve, right? And then you have to go to your why. So there's the known path of, you know, working, you know, in its established career, and that's a known path. But if you're going on an unknown path, the why becomes even more important. That kind of becomes your true north. You know, that's the vision you're working towards. And therefore, anything that comes in your path becomes a lot more digestible, achievable, attainable, right? Taking it to the organizational context, right? We focus so much on the leaders for establishing a vision. And that becomes their why of why are we doing this change? You know, it's not like a short-term band-aid fix of a change, right? Always keep asking why and get to a point that it becomes a change that is worth working towards. And I think as comms professionals and as trusted advisors, we work with our leaders to make it that, you know, that vision that is worth, that is inspiring, that's worth working for, right? The organization you want to create, the purpose you have, the difference you're making in the community, society. In many people-centric change, I think it's so important to have that right why. And I think that's also learning from personal change. The why is so important. The third is change takes time. It's not a switch on, switch off button, and it's non-linear. So it's not that you just go on a path and like you're feeling okay about it, and then through the change journey that you're feeling okay about it, you go through ups and downs. You know, you can, on one day you can feel really excited. Next day you go through, you know, a challenge, a shift in the way of working, and you might feel very down and you might question your choices, and then you can go back up. So it's a non-linear process, and therefore it takes time to establish, and therefore the importance of going back to your why, it's so important to know what it means for you, the ability to join the dots between what you're doing today to eventually achieving the aim. And I think that's really important. So knowing and understanding and embracing that it's non-linear, and therefore it needs that repetition. It needs different creative ways of getting that message through. It means being open to ideas and different ways of working. I think that's really important. And last but not the least is having a support system. And I think in organization, that support systems align managers or change network. In personal life, my co-founder is my support system. Mm. I think peers like other entrepreneurs like yourself that I look up to for what they have created, I think that support system is everywhere, right? Mm. So I think you lean into your family, your friends, your peers, your co-founders, but in an organization level, you look to your leaders, your managers, your change network. I think it's so important to create those spaces where people can go and talk about the change and align. And I think that's how I kind of interpret my personal change and what I went through and apply it to organizational change today. But that's a really long list, Craig.
That's brilliant, Jyoti. I mean, it's fantastic. And I agree with everything you said there wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, the first one around making sure or recognizing that when I feel ownership of something, I'm more likely to make that happen, it is a really important lesson there around organizational change. Because often it's, you know, it's something that has been decided in a darkened room that someone's come out and told us this is what's going to happen to us. And we're very much do not feel any agency around that, whereas it is possible to do that. Even, you know, even in the most kind of top-down type of change, you can give people agency by helping them understand the you know, all the things we've talked about on this interview, the rationale behind it, why it's important that it be successful, why we should care, why it means that it means we continue to do the great things that we do as an organization, and the professional and personal benefits of it. You know, again, without gold plating something, if but to give people that sense of, you know, this is worth doing, and therefore we want you to feel as though you want to be part of it, and not that you're just kind of coming along for the ride. So I think that's a really, really important lesson. And everything else you said there, particularly around support networks as well, in whatever role you're in, I think is vitally important to help be resilient in a very, very kind of confusing and rapidly evolving world. So really, really great words of wisdom there, Jyoti. It was worth waiting 4.5 years to have this conversation, I think. Just what's next for you then, Jyoti? I know when we were talking just before we started recording, you said you're off on your travels. Is that business or pleasure or a bit of both? What does the next few weeks have in store for you?
No, it's really exciting time. We're working, as I mentioned earlier, working with some clients in Europe and the Middle East. So we're supposed to travel for that to help with some on-site training and workshop. Mm. But I think it's really exciting. Each client, each change is so different. So while we go in as sort of people who know a bit more about change, but there's so much learning with each project, and I'm excited as if it's my first project of working with change, because I think with every culture, with every person you deal with, there's so much change. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I think a bit of travel and workshopping the change management part with peers from HR and change management itself. So really excited.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, well, enjoy and have safe travel. So we're in the show notes. We'll obviously, for listeners, if you've not found our show notes on our website at thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, you'll find the show notes for all of the episodes where you can listen to the show directly. And we have a resume or a bit more information about our guests. So Jyoti, I'm going to put your LinkedIn profile and a link to your website, which is, I know you said the company is called Bricks and Clicks, but the website is bricks-clicks.com. That's correct, isn't it, Jyoti?
That is correct, yes. The best way to find me is on either of those platforms. Just drop me a DM, and I love to connect with fellow professionals. I know the number of people I've reached out to after listening to your podcast, Craig, just to say hi.
Oh, brilliant.
I've enjoyed the conversation, so I'd love for anyone to reach out. You want to have a chat? If you're visiting Singapore, you know, you want to meet for coffee, I'm here. Love to meet new people. So thank you for that.
Yes, it's on my list of places that I've never been to that I definitely want to go to at some point. I'm planning, hopefully, in the not too distant future, a trip to that part of the world, and then maybe on to Australia as well. It's another place I've never been to. So, yes, that would be lovely, and I'll definitely let you know. And if you're in Singapore, I'll give you a shout and try and meet up with you, Jyoti. Is there anything else you want me to put links into as well, in addition to the website and the LinkedIn profile? Is that enough? That's it. That's the best way to reach out to you. Yeah.
That is the best way. That is my preferred channel. And yes, that is perfect. Thank you, Craig.
Okay, that's brilliant. Well, look, Jyoti, as I said, it's taken 4.5 years, but the best things in life are worth waiting for, and you've proven that again. So thank you so much, Jyoti. It's been a fascinating conversation, a topic I'm really passionate about, and clearly you are too. And I think you've given our listeners some really fantastic inspiration, ideas and thoughts there, and I'm really grateful for you, and I wish you all the best for the remainder of this year, and obviously it seems very premature to be talking about 2025, but it's getting ever closer, so I wish you all the best for the future, Jyoti.
Thank you, Craig, likewise, and I know I will stay connected with the platform, with the podcast and with you, so I know we'll be in touch, but thank you so much for the opportunity. I really enjoyed the chat.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jyoti. Goodbye. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you've got any ideas for episodes you'd like us to cover in future, you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can use the feedback form at engagingic.com. If you're not already subscribed to the show via your podcast platform, please do so. And if you could leave a review for us, that would be absolutely fantastic. We have links to other episodes at engagingic.com. All of our previous episodes are available there. And if you're interested in our visual communication services, our big pictures, our learning maps, our explainer videos, and also our live graphic recording, please get in touch with us again at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Thank you.